Graham, will receive the morning offering at this time. Before we do that, let's go back to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we pray that as we receive this offering, dear Lord, that you'll bless it. Bless the gift as well as the giver. God, may you get glory. Please be in the furtherance of this service. Pray that as your word goes forth, dear Lord, we know that it will not return void. And God, we pray that you'll be blessed and honored here this morning. We ask it in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Birthdays or wedding anniversaries? Anybody got it? All right. What flavor?
Wedding anniversary. 35 years.
How many?
35.
Wow. 35 years. Anybody else? Birthday? 35 years? And more? Okay. Miss Cindy?
Birthday.
I think that little fella back there had one. Did get sung to, right?
Yes, yeah, we missed Zach
turned 8. Zach as well. So, Brother Clinton, would you lead us in two songs?
Yeah, two songs. Let's do the birthdays first, okay? Happy birthday to
you. Have your Bibles with you this morning. Turn with us over to the book of Revelation. Book of Revelation, chapter number 4. I had a thought this morning to be what will be said. I want to share some scripture from Revelations and give you some thoughts from Isaiah and Matthew. But mainly going to be reading from Revelations chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 25. But who in here this morning, by show of hands, has been to a job interview? A lot of people. It can be a little bit intimidating, to say the least. I've been to job interviews and I have conducted job interviews, and they can be quite intimidating. I'll never forget when I went to Spartanburg and was just getting out of the military, and they flew me down to the hospital and I interviewed. And I walked in and there's a round table. Now that round table's got a bunch of eyes looking straight at me. And I didn't know what to expect. Really, this was my first interview getting out of the military, and thankfully it turned out well. But it can be intimidating. The people that are sitting around the table, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't know whether they're looking, well, he's got something on his face, or he's got something in his teeth, or I can't believe he said that. They're intimidating, to say the least, but conducting those interviews, it can be sort of fun on the other side of the table, just watching to see how it goes. But you're looking to see, are they a good fit? Are they a fit to work in your environment? Are they a fit to work with your coworkers or for your company? But you don't know what's going to be there. You don't know who's going to be there. You don't know what kind of questions are going to be asked, or even what the room is going to look like that you're going to go into. Well, this morning, if I had a thought, it would be, you know, when we get to heaven, we know a little bit about what's going to be there, who's going to be there, and what's going to be said. And this morning, I wanted to focus a little bit on what's going to be said. Or not said. There's a powerful song, and I don't remember the name, the guy who wrote the song, but it's been pretty common in the past few years. It's entitled, I Can Only Imagine. We can only imagine to some extent of what heaven will be like and how we'll respond when we get there, whether we'll kneel in adoration or lift our hands in praise. We can only imagine what that will be like when we see Jesus for the first time. When we see loved ones who have gone on before us, when we see them again, we can only imagine, what will we do? What will we say? But what about turn that on the other end? What will He do and what will Jesus say? And that's what I want to focus on here this morning. In Revelation chapter number 4, I want to begin reading down at verse number 6. Let it be said. In verse number 6, it says, and before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast was like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and the rest, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the four and the 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Beautiful picture, and I know Revelations can be sometimes almost as intimidating as some of those job interviews that we've been to, because we don't fully understand it, but this picture is pretty easy to understand. A little bit of the setting, we're here before the throne of God, and your Bible probably even has that title above chapter number 4. We see around there's 24 seats around the throne with 24 elders sitting upon those seats. And we see and hear of, and I encourage you to go back and read the first part of the chapter and to see a little bit more of the picture, but we see some of the beauty and the glory of God and a little bit of the power of God. But the things that we begin to hear, the Bible says that they heard the thundering voices that were there, the four beasts that were praising God, and they were singing or crying out, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. But not only do we hear the four beasts that are crying out, Holy, 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 we can read over in Isaiah chapter number 6, where we see of the four angels that are saying, Holy, holy, holy. They're gathered around the throne of God. And here it goes a step further. And the 24 elders that were there, they go even further. After bowing down, after worshiping God, and they cry out and saying, Lord, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and they were created. So we see the throne of God. We see Jesus seated on the throne. We see the 24 elders that are gathered around the throne. We see the four beasts that are crying out praise unto God repetitively. We see the 24 elders that are praising God. They've fallen down. They're casting their crowns before the Lord. And they're praising Him. Does Jesus stop them one bit? No. He does not stop worship and adoration to Him. Why? Because as the 24 elders said, Thou art worthy, O Lord. And He's worthy to be praised. But here's the question. The question this morning would be, if we're unwilling to worship God down here on this side of eternity, what makes us think that we'll get to worship Him on the other side of eternity, where the angels and the beasts are saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I say that to say this. This is a warm-up phrase, if you'll have it. This is a warm-up to get ready for worshiping God when we get on the other side. And I don't know what all heaven's going to be like. I can only imagine, as the song says, I don't know what we'll be doing for all eternity. But I do know that we'll be worshiping Christ our Lord for what He's done for me and for you. And praising Him and worshiping Him. I don't know what will encompass all the time, because really there won't be no time. It'll be for all eternity. There'll be no day, there'll be no night. It'll just be all day, if I understand correctly. But all of this, crying out worship under Him, this is what is to be said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and He's worthy to be praised. But as you look into Isaiah, where Isaiah encountered this, and he had the vision that he saw, very similar scene, the angels worshiping God, he sees around the throne room, and the post of the temple and door frame even shakes when they cry out worshiping to God, but a little bit of a different response. The 24 elders, they bow down and worship to God. They said, Thou art worthy. And Isaiah goes a little bit further, And God says, Whom shall I send? And Isaiah says, Lord, send me. And then the Lord begins to tell him what He's going to do. So Isaiah responded in worship, if you'll have it, to God. He even responded and said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I am undone. And from an undone people, unclean people. All of those characteristics, Isaiah was not lifting himself up at all. He was, when he saw the holiness of God, He saw just how wicked he really was. He saw how far, far removed from God that he really was. And God reached down and he touched him with a censer from off the altar. But Isaiah responded in response by saying, "Lord, send me, I'll go. I'll do what you have me to do." But then over in Matthew, chapter number 7, and I'll get to Matthew 25 in just a second. In Matthew chapter number 7, Isaiah, as he said, and this should be said of all of us, "Lord, send me." Let it be said of us. As the angels lifted up and the four beasts and the 24 elders lifted up praise unto God, let that be said, and that will be said in heaven on the other side. As Isaiah said, "Lord, I'm willing to go. Lord, send me." Let it be said of us on this side of eternity. But let this not be said of us. In Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." And then he went on and said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." They had the form of godliness, but denied the power thereof. They looked religious on the outside, but on the inside, as Jesus referred to the Pharisees many times, they were like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones on the inside. They were following the rules and the regulations, but their heart was far from it. And Jesus had said, and I believe it was in the Old Testament, "They worship me with their lips, but their heart is far removed. Their heart is not in it. There is no worship." And here it is. These, they had done what we would say many wonderful things, but it was not to the glory of God. It was only to point worship and adoration to themselves. And such was the case to whom Jesus was talking. This being the last part of the Sermon on the Mount, the Pharisees and the scribes were there, and they're about to see who this is. And Jesus had already responded several times and saying, "Your righteousness must be more than the Pharisees and the scribes." It's got to be more righteous than them. But to the people, to look at the scribes and the Pharisees, Brother Clinton, they were it. They were the religious people. They were the ones who they were to ascribe to and to try and attain to. And Jesus was saying, that's not going to cut it. Because according to what they were doing, they were going to be the ones that Jesus said, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And they did not truly know God. They looked the part on the outside, and they did things that people were amazed with. Yet Jesus didn't know them personally, relationship, as a brother. He knew them, don't get me wrong. Jesus knew them because he knows everybody. But he did not know them in the free pardon of sin. And they were to depart from him. Because James even says, the demons also believe and tremble. I believe it was James, and they're not going to heaven. Praise be to God. So just the mental knowledge of Christ will not get one into heaven. It's a relationship. And I would dare say that these are the worst words that anybody would want to hear said. "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." But then as we sort of go around the world, you'll have that. In Matthew 25, turn with me over there. I want to read just three short verses. In Matthew 25, "Let this be said of us." And this is what I hope that we all ascribe to and look to attain to. We have the story in Matthew 25, the beginning of the chapter, the parable of the 10 virgins. And then right after that, we have the story of the parable of the talents that the master gave out to three of his servants. He gave 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1. And they were to use that and to make profit with that. But as you jump on, and as he has given out that, and as he comes back in verse number 19, "And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. He said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathereth where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. And we know that, and Joel, it just seems fitting to use you an example with that message or that scripture. But we know that if with Joel's business, a lot of people will use Joel to help them to use their money to make additional money. But if Brother Joel was to have a not so good day, and it go into the negative field, or you see more red than you see green, Brother Joel we'd be looking at Joel like that last one there. I gave you that money to do something with it, and you're just giving it right back to me. I tell you a story several years ago when I was driving the school bus for a while, and you know that bus drivers, they're not going to make $1 million, Brother Clinton. That's just, they're not going to do it. But I enjoyed it. And they had a little bit of retirement that went with the school bus, and I put a little bit away. But then because of what it was, when I left driving a bus and I went to work for the technology department, I couldn't touch that retirement. I couldn't add to it. I couldn't draw it out and transfer it to something else because I still technically worked for Habersham County Schools, and I couldn't do anything with it. And Brother Lloyd, that frustrated me to no end. I had to sit there and watch every statement as they did a little bit of, management fees. They would take them out a little bit at a time. Every quarter, I got one of those little statements, and I saw it dwindle, 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 and I couldn't do a thing about it. And that just frustrated me because I had given them my money, and I expected them to do something with it, to make a little bit of talent, a little more talents with it if you'll have that. Well, here, Jesus is saying, I've given you talents. I've given you abilities. I've given you grace and mercy. I've given you forgiveness and repentance. Now give that to others and make something with it. Now, what Jesus is not saying, the good Lord is not saying, I want you to go use the talent of Hannah and the talent of Miss Free, and I want you to make some beautiful music. Well, I want to tell you, that's not going to work. Because I can't play like Canada or Miss Free. I can't play like anybody else. I can barely play like I can. Which on the piano ain't nothing but chopsticks. but on the guitar, I can play a little bit. A little bit. Thankfully, I can play more than Hannah can. So I can say, I've got more talent on the guitar than you do. And there she gives me that eye. But I can't use somebody else's talents because God didn't give me their talents. He didn't give me the talent of Brother Clinton to lead in worship. He didn't give me the talent of Brother Lloyd and the ministry that he's had. He gave me my ministry, the ministry that I have. He gave me my talents, and he gave you your talents. Miss Janet back there has a talent of numbers. She can make them fly. Can I give you my checkbook and make it expand? and all those things, we all have our own talents and our own abilities. Let it not be said of us as that last servant was, what did you do with the one? Well, I went and hid it. We know at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told the story of the salt and the light. And the light is not to be hid under a bushel. No, and we sing the song as little children. But here Jesus is sort of coming around full circle. He told it at the beginning, but now at the end, with the illustration and the parable of the talents, the one there at the end that had the one talent and gave back just the one talent, the whole time the master was gone, all he did was pretty much put that talent under a bushel and hide it. Jesus said, you can't do that. You got to take that talent or that light and shine it on the hill that it might be a light for all to see. And that's what we as believers and children of God are called to do, to shine that light, not under a bushel. And that's how it should be. He gave them what they could handle. He gave the one the five. He knew that the one with the five talents, he could handle the five talents. The one with the two, he knew that he could handle the two. The one with the one, he could handle the one. He never gave them more than they could handle. If you've ever been hiking, if you put too much weight on your back, when you get to certain terrain, you're just not going to be able to handle it. If I were to sit behind that piano and a great singer stand over here and want me to play a Mozart song or Beethoven, I'm sorry, I couldn't handle it unless there's a button for me to mash so that it would play it automatically. I couldn't handle it. We know that Paul says that he'll never lay on us more than we can handle. He'll give us just what we need, and when the temptations come or the trials come and it's too much for us to handle, he will provide a way out, a way of escape. But Jesus expected them to use what they each had and produce for the Master's glory. While he was gone to a faraway land, even in the early part of Scripture, Jesus has already prepared them and getting them ready for when he was going to go away. While he's gone away to that faraway land, that being heaven, and then coming back, when he comes back. They were rewarded accordingly, the five, and the two is what they had done. And they heard the best words that any believer could hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. They were rewarded accordingly. They heard the best words they could hear, with the exception of one. His words weren't too nice. The words that he heard from the Lord, they weren't. Now let me ask you this morning, which would you rather hear? I'm looking forward to hearing that holy, 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 Brother Clayton. I'm looking forward to hearing the voice of thunders crying out praise unto the Lord. There's a book, 90 Minutes in Heaven, by Brother Piper. I can't remember his first name. He's a preacher. And this was several years ago. And according to his story and his testimony, he died, and he was in heaven for 90 minutes. I can't testify to whether it was true or not. I can say this is what his testimony is. But to hear his illustration and his description of heaven, Brother Lloyd, when he got to the gates, it sounded awful like what the Bible says. He heard the music, and it was all different kinds of music, but it was all in harmony, and it was all together, and it sounded like the voice of mighty thunders and mighty waters. He never walked in the gate, but he got right up to the gate. You know, Brother Clinton, that'd be like getting right up to the gate of Disney World as a kid and said, I'm sorry, you can't go in. And he even voiced that and said, Lord, why did you let me get to the gate and not let me go in? Why didn't you let me go the rest of the way in? And he said, because I wasn't done with you and I want you to go back. And he suffered tremendously for several months because he's involved in a serious car accident, and they had to restretch one of his legs because it was so damaged, so bad. And he suffered some serious, painful recovery process. And many times he faced depression and just wanted to, God, call me on home, because I've seen part of it, I've heard part of it, and I want to go on in. I said, no, I'm not done with you yet. I need you down here. When the Lord left the five talents with the one, and the two with the one, and the one with the one, he needed them to use that for his glory. He didn't expect them to put it in a bank and let it sit there. Even the one, he didn't even put it in a bank. He did like what some of our old kinfolks used to do, took the money, put it in a mason jar, and went outside and buried it. And you know what I'm talking about, because you probably had some kinfolks who've done that. Not too dependent upon the bank, want to go put it in a jar and bury it so nobody can touch it. But see, as believers, we can't do that. We can't put it in a jar and bury it. Not if we want to bring our Lord glory. Why do we want to bring Him glory? Going back to Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory. Why is He worthy? Because He died on the cross for me and for you. Because He shed every drop of His blood for me and for you. Because He showed His love for me and for you. Jesus is worthy to be praised. He's worthy to work for. You know, there's some people, Brother Clinton, I just have a real hard time working for them. I'll just be honest. I can't trust them. I watch how they work with other people, and it's like, I'd quit before I had to work for that person. But working for my Lord, He's the great boss, if you have that, we could ever have. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants the very best for us. And boy, the retirement plan is out of this world. Yeah. You can't say that about any other place that you work for. Working for our Lord. How about you this morning? Of those phrases that I said, will it be said, let it be said, can they be said of you that you're looking forward to hearing the hearing it be said, holy, holy, holy? Can it be said of you, or will it be said of you, depart from me, for I never knew you? Meaning that you don't have that relationship with Christ. Or will it be said of us, as it was to those two, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And only you know how it will be said to you. Brother Clinton and Miss Free and Hannah, y'all come at this time. I don't know anybody's heart. All I can speak for is myself. How I stand before the Lord. Brother Joel back there, he can look through his records and he can see how certain people stand with their financials. How they're doing. Good, bad, nothing. Just flat. A bad investment. Or at least it's not losing, but it ain't gaining. I said it before and I'll say it again. If you take a boat down there at a Belt and Bridge and you put it in, it's going to go one way or the other. It's not going to sit still unless we've got a drought and there's no water. But it's going to either going to go upstream with effort, or it's going to go downstream being pushed. We're the same way. In our walk before the Lord, we're either going to go upstream with Him with our effort wanting to get closer to Him, or we're going to be pushed downstream by the current of the world, further and further away from our Lord. Oh, won't it be, let it be said of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's my desire for each and every one of us here this morning, that when we stand before Christ or we kneel before Christ, we'll hear Him say, well done. Let it not be said of any of us here this morning, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's the worst words anybody could ever hear. And I don't want anybody to hear that. And if you're afraid that you will hear that this morning, I'd be glad to meet you in the altar and pray with you, because I'd much rather you hear well done than depart. Because I know what comes after the depart is an eternity in the devil's hell. But the well done, I also know a little bit about what's going to be come after that. My friend, it's the best thing you'll ever have. Brother Clinton, what's your number?
Green book number 12.
The altar's open. If you have a need, I'd be glad to meet you in the altar this morning.